The primary vote for Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice happens next week. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. We've invited all three candidates to talk with us ahead of the election. The top two vote-getters in the February 18th primary advance to the general Supreme Court election in April. Your calls are welcome as we bring on different candidates. What questions do you have for someone who hopes to be Wisconsin's next Supreme Court justice? What do you want to say about the court's recent rulings or the way that justices approach cases? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Marquette University Law Professor Ed Filone and current Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly are in the primary. So is today's guest, Jill Karofsky. She's a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She's also a Dane County Circuit Court judge. Judge Karofsky, thanks for being here with us on the Ideas Network.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
You're campaigning to unseat Justice Daniel Kelly after Governor Scott Walker appointed him in 2016. Why do you think it's time for voters to have a change on the state Supreme Court?
Look, I'm running for the state Supreme Court because we have got to get this court back on track. And what I am bringing is my experience, my values, my Wisconsin values, and my energy to this race. And I'm going to bring those things to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
And so why do you think you're a better candidate than your opponents? One's a sitting Supreme Court justice and the other is a law professor.
Look, I'm the best candidate because of the experience that I have. I am the only person in this race who is or who has ever been a trial court judge. I presided over more than 1,700 cases just last year. In my courtroom, I see how the law impacts real people. It is not just an esoteric exercise. I'm also the only person in this race who has been a prosecutor. I know how to be smart on crime. I know how to protect the rights of individuals. And I have been a victim advocate. I was Wisconsin's first Violence Against Women Resource Prosecutor, and then I was the head of Wisconsin's Office of Crime Victim Services. I help crime victims in every single county in the state of Wisconsin get the services, the support, and the help that they needed while their case was winding its way through the criminal justice system.
Turning to the campaign, your stump speech often involves describing the current state Supreme Court as corrupt from the perspective of Wisconsin voters. Is that your personal view or that the court is corrupt?
What I have been doing is traveling around the state the past several months campaigning, and people around the state have concerns about the Wisconsin Supreme Court. What they see are justices who make decisions before anyone ever walks into the Wisconsin State Supreme Court chamber. They see justices who do not follow the rule of law. They see justices who are more interested in protecting corporations than in protecting our air and our water and our planet from corporate pollution. They see justices acting like politicians, and all of that feels like corruption to people.
But there's a difference, though, between what something may feel like. I'm not undercutting the ideas of those voters who are saying that to you, but the impression may not be the same as what's actually happening. I mean, what evidence is there for you to say that the Supreme Court is corrupt right now?
If you look at Dan Kelly's decisions, every single time he has had the opportunity to rule in the favor of the right-wing special interests on a case, he has done it. He was asked in November to cite an example when he did not do that, and he couldn't do it. So every single time he has the chance to rule in favor of the right wing, he does it. And that feels like corruption to people because people can't believe that the law could always be on their side. But Dan Kelly always finds that the law is on their side.
Justice Kelly's response, though, to that is that he's calling balls and strikes. If it seems to fall in the same direction repeatedly, that's just because that's how the court is able to interpret the Constitution and that they're just doing their jobs. I'm wondering how you think that translates into a problem, though, or corruption, if you feel like suddenly that's partisan when he's saying, I'm just taking it at its word.
People in the state of Wisconsin are saying, look, how can it be that the law is always on the side of these right-wing special interest groups? How could that be? Also, what they are seeing is a court who is failing to follow the process that has been followed for years and years and years in this state. Look at the lame duck case. In the lame duck case, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, with Dan Kelly on it, didn't even allow that case to have a hearing in the trial court. The day before it was supposed to have a hearing at 4:45, the Wisconsin Supreme Court and Dan Kelly plucked it from the trial court. They didn't allow the facts to be developed. They didn't allow a public hearing. They didn't allow any of us in the state of Wisconsin to look and to see what the facts were going to be in that case. They were so eager to pluck the case and to reach a decision. That also feels like corruption to people.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Judge Jill Karofsky. She's campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. The top two finishers in Tuesday's primary advanced to an April runoff. What questions do you have for Judge Karofsky? What do you want to know about her qualifications or her positions? You can call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's go ahead and bring in Steve from Sun Prairie now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I have a quick question. I hope the judge will be very specific. She made a very terrible allegation about the Supreme Court calling it corrupt. She mentioned Dan Kelly. Can you be specific and name which Supreme Court justices that you think are corrupt and tell us specifically why they are corrupt as opposed to making a platitude?
All right. Thanks, Steve. So Steve is wondering, asking to name names as opposed to saying that the process is corrupt. Are there justices you see as corrupt?
I am running against Dan Kelly. I am running against Dan Kelly because as I have traveled around the state, people have talked to me about what they are seeing on this court. And what they see is a justice in Dan Kelly who always fines for the right-wing special interest. And that feels like corruption to people. Look, the difference is that when he was asked to come up with an example of a time when he did not rule in favor of his own political or personal interest, he could not do it. Now, I sit on a court every single day, and I can give you many, many examples of times when I rule against my personal or political beliefs. I did it just last week in court. I had a case where there was a felon in possession of a firearm. He was pulled over in Madison. The defense attorney filed a motion saying the police had no reason to pull this person over, and we held a hearing. I don't want felons to be in possessions of firearms. But when we had a hearing in the case, it was very, very clear that the police officer didn't have reasonable suspicion to pull over this African-American driver. So even though I don't want felons in possession, the law demands that police officers have to have reasonable suspicion. This looked to me like it was a pretext stop, and so I dismissed that case.
And I will say that when we talked to Dan Kelly this week, he named off some cases and said that it wasn't that he was siding with specifically political interests, but that when he was interpreting the Constitution, that was the side that he came down on, which we talked about just a little bit ago. You and Professor Filone in this race both signed the 2011 petition to recall Governor Scott Walker over Act 10. And because of his appointment, Justice Kelly had published writings about same-sex marriage and affirmative action, other policy issues. I wonder how much should voters take into account, past actions or past weight that are political in nature when they're considering candidates for Supreme Court in this nonpartisan election?
I think every voter needs to decide for him and herself what the various qualities and issues are that they're going to look at in a race like this. And what I have tried to put forward to people is the experience that I have, which I've already talked to you about, my values, my Wisconsin values. Look, I'm born and raised in this state. My mom was mayor of my small town when I was growing up. I saw her do things like bring emergency medical service into our town. She brought buses in so folks had access to public transportation. My dad was a local pediatrician. He opened up a free clinic for teenagers as soon as he retired so that they would have access. He knew some of them wouldn't have access to health care otherwise. My parents taught me the importance of public service and of serving my community. As a single mom of two teenagers, my kids and I all went to public school. I talked to my kids about the importance of workers' rights and women's rights and human rights and civil rights. And those are the values that I am bringing to this race, in addition to a depth and breadth of experience that neither of my opponents can touch.
Professor Fallone casts himself as the more independent candidate here, highlighting your support from Democrats, Justice Kelly's support from Republicans. Do you agree with his portrayal of the election in that light?
I'm sorry, what? How did you
Professor
say
Fallone casts himself as like the independent candidate when it comes to this. I mean, technically, the race is nonpartisan, but we see political support in all of these different ways in this election.
Look, I'm really proud of the endorsements that we have in this race, and we have bipartisan endorsements. I have bipartisan support from judges and from sheriffs and from DAs from all across Wisconsin.
We are talking with Judge Jill Karofsky, and we are discussing her campaign for the state Supreme Court here on the Ideas Network. And let's go ahead and welcome Tim from Eau Claire now. Hi, Tim. What's your question?
My understanding is within the past several years, the state Supreme Court ruled that crimes less than misdemeanors, so I guess ordinance violations, should be allowed to be expunged. But in ruling that, they ended up expunging the case that was that they were ruling on, ultimately leaving it no record of it. I'm wondering what the judge's thoughts are on expungement of ordinance violations, specifically where the cases were originally tried or originally listed as misdemeanors and then pled down to ordinance violations.
All right, Tim, that's a pretty specific question. Are you familiar with that particular ruling, Judge Karofsky?
I think I know what Tim is talking about. Look, anyone who's been in the criminal justice system for 2 minutes knows that we need to reform this system. I am the only person in this race who has been on the front line of the judicial system, and I've been on the front line of the criminal justice system for many, many years. We need to do a number of things. There's a number of ways that the criminal justice system can be reformed. Now, I'm not running to be a policymaker. I'm not running for the legislature. I'm running to be a Supreme Court justice. And I do think that it is incumbent upon those of us who are on the front lines as trial court judges to inform the legislature about things that we see in our courtrooms. That's something that I have done and that I will continue to do.
And we'll talk more about how to handle Supreme Court precedent ahead with Judge Jill Karofsky. She's a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And you can weigh in, give us an email at ideas@wpr.org. The conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. Seven justices make up Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and our guest today wants to be one of them. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and Jill Karofsky is talking with us as a candidate in the Supreme Court primary. She's one of three people vying for two spots in the general Supreme Court election. And you can send your questions, your ideas, to ideas@wpr.org, and we might be able to talk about them as we wrap up this conversation. Jill Karofsky is a Dane County Circuit Court judge. And as we left the end of that conversation, our caller brought up the idea of something that has already been decided by the Supreme Court. And one of the things that concerns you is you say that the decisions have been corrupt in the state Supreme Court. So I wonder what you think the role of precedent is. I mean, these are decisions the court has made. And if you are elected, how would you consider, you know, past decisions in what you'd be looking at then?
Well, I have to consider precedent in my role as a circuit court judge right now, and I have to do it many, many times in a day. And I follow the law. I follow the rule of law in my courtroom. I also make sure that everyone in my courtroom is treated equally and fairly and respectfully. And what we have seen in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is a failure to follow precedent. And I can give you an example. Look, and let me just say this also. When we don't follow precedent, we don't have predictability and stability in the law. No one knows what the law is, the rules by which we are all governed. In 2016, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court made a decision in a case involving the Department of Public Instruction. It had to do with administrative rules. 3 years later, when Dan Kelly was on the court in 2019, the end of the last session, they reversed that ruling 180 degrees. The only thing that changed, the only difference in those two cases, and this difference was pointed out by Justice Anne Walsh Bradley in the dissent, the only thing that changed was the makeup of the court. If laws in Wisconsin, if case law in Wisconsin changes only because of the makeup of the Supreme Court, how do any of us know what the law is supposed to be in this state?
So you say that then precedent is important. So which precedent is it? Because now we have layers. So if you're on the court and a similar case comes up, does the 2019 precedent come into it? Or do you bypass that and point to 2016? I mean, how do you pull that into the conversation?
Well, I would follow what the law is. Now, obviously, you know, there are examples in this country and in this state where we have had a change of precedent, and that has been good. If you think about Plessy versus Ferguson and then Brown versus the Board of Education, you know, I don't think there is anyone, certainly not in this room, who would disagree that that was an important change in precedent. But that's not what we're seeing on the Supreme Court. With Dan Kelly in that 2019 decision, what we see is a court that is outcome-driven and that is not following the rule of law because they want to get to their preordained result.
And let's bring in Patty from Birchwood now, who has a question for Judge Krofsky. And actually, it sounds like we've lost Patty, but Patty was wondering about the role of original intent when it comes to the Constitution. So, you know, that begs the question, what's your judicial philosophy then?
My judicial philosophy is to look at the facts of a case, to study the law in the case, and to apply the law to the facts in an equal and a fair and an impartial way. And I do that over and over and over again in my courtroom. When I hear words like originalism, that is code for we have an end result that we want to get to, and we are going to do what we need to do to get to that end result. What we need to do is have justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court who are going to make the right decision without fear or favor, who are going to make the right decision following the rule of law and not their political or personal beliefs.
What about the idea, though, the phrase that more conservatives use is activist judges? Is the opposite of an originalist, someone looking at how things were drafted in the beginning, someone who wants to change things, who wants to make law from the bench?
Look, I think when interpreting the Constitution, we need to look at it with today in mind. It's 2020. The Constitution is a document that was ratified in the late 1700s. At that time, African Americans were viewed as 3/5 of a person. Women like you and I did not have the right to vote. No one could have imagined that we'd be walking around with these handheld computers in our hands with access to the entire universe. It is a very, very different day today. So I think when interpreting the Constitution, we must do it with today in mind.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Judge Jill Karofsky. She's campaigning for a term on the court. Top two finishers next week advance to the election in April. And on the campaign trail, Judge Karofsky, you've pushed for the Supreme Court to adopt clear rules about when justices should remove themselves from cases. If elected, when would you remove yourself from cases? I mean, especially with your breadth of experience.
So I remove myself from cases right now in my own courtroom. The rule in Wisconsin is that if you have a conflict of interest or there is the appearance of impropriety, the judge should remove him or herself from the case. And I have done that a number of times because I have had personal relationships with attorneys who appear in front of me, and I thought I could be fair, but I was concerned about the appearance of impropriety, so I got off those cases. Now, look, what we need in Wisconsin is a very strong recusal rule. This having to do with money. And if someone gives more than a certain amount of money to a judicial candidate and then appears in front of that judicial candidate should have to get off of that case. In 2016, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, with Dan Kelly on it, had the opportunity to draft a rule, to draft a recusal rule. They could have held a hearing to gather information from lawyers, from judges, from members of the electorate to figure out how to craft the best rule. And they wouldn't even hold a hearing. The Supreme Court, with Dan Kelly on it, wouldn't even hold the hearing to get the information that would have led to a clear and a strong recusal rule in this state. It's important to have that because otherwise people's confidence in our judiciary erodes. So when I'm elected to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, I'm going to advocate for a strong and a clear recusal rule that comes out of a hearing where we have gathered information.
And even if you don't have that rule, if someone donates $20,000 to your campaign, the maximum allowed from an individual, would you recuse yourself from cases involving them in the future?
I would recuse myself if someone gives us a lot of money, if it is a very, very high amount of money, and I do not think that I can be fair because of that amount of money that has come in, yes, I will recuse myself.
What about this idea, though, that if we have this hard and fast rule at a certain dollar threshold, that there's a danger that political donors, could give money to reshape the court to their advantage, you know, just going kind of up to a certain point and then there's no official recusal. If it's set at 20,000, if they give 19, they still have influence, right?
Yes. And that is why it is up to each individual just and justice to get off, even if they have the appearance of impropriety. And each individual judge and justice needs to decide for themselves which cases they need to get off. They need to not preside over based on that.
All right. And let's work in Cole from Sun Prairie here as we're wrapping up our conversation. Cole, you have a question.
Yes, I do. And I'd like to just say thanks to the judge for making the biggest point, the biggest argument about why she's a better candidate than the difference in interpreting law based on today's time and not just being an originalist as Kelly seems to be. And that gets into my question regarding gerrymandering. With the federal, with the Supreme Court of the United States abdicating themselves of their duty and kicking it back down to the states, what would your interpretation of a lawsuit regarding gerrymandering be? How do you feel about where the state of Wisconsin is in terms of gerrymandering and how the
Thanks, Cole. Yeah, and Judge Kurofsky, big question, about a minute to answer it. What's your response to Cole?
That the issue of gerrymandering is an example of why this race is so important to the state of Wisconsin, because who we have on our Supreme Court matters. These elections have consequences. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court is incredibly likely to hear a case on gerrymandering in the next year or so. And the question for Wisconsin voters is, do they want someone on the Supreme Court who has a track record for following the rule of law, which is what I have, or do they want someone like Dan Kelly, who we already know how he's going to rule on that case? Because he always rules for the right-wing special interest if you look at his track record. So what I am asking is the voters of the state of Wisconsin to vote for Jill Kurofsky, someone who follows the rule of law, who treats everyone in her courtroom with fairness, with equally, and with respect. And those are the same things that I will do on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
Judge Kurofsky, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Jill Kurofsky is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She's also a Dane County Circuit Court judge. Kurofsky is in the primary race against law professor Ed Filone and current Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly. We've invited all three candidates to talk with us this week ahead of next week's election. The top two vote-getters on February 18th advance to the general Supreme Court election in April. This is The Morning Show.